For legal reasons, I must inform you that Underqualified is meant for entertainment, and if you decide to take anything we say as advice, we are not legally responsible for the consequences should you do anything stupid, immoral, or illegal. On that note, anything said represents the opinions of the person who said it, and not other Underqualified panelists, Uncle Mustache, or any other member of the finely groomed crew. Welcome to Underqualified, the only relationship advice show where the panelists will all die alone. I'm your host, Jesse, and with me today is my actually, Holden's not here. So today, two guests, we have Guy.
Hey there.
And Dan.
Yay!
If you've never listened to the show before, we're all people who are horribly underqualified to give relationship advice, and yet that's exactly what we're going to do. And if you have listened to the show before, hopefully you just skipped that last 3 seconds because you've heard it 28 times or more.
I actually have a new reason why I'm underqualified.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The usual question is, why are you qualified to be underqualified? And earlier today, I have what might have been a date with a girl, which is a rarity.
Maybe.
Yeah.
A date?
Okay.
That's reason number one.
Yeah. We were hanging out, and I made a point to mention that I was about to be a panelist on a podcast about being underqualified for dating advice.
Look, I just want to get the show big enough so people can use underqualified as an icebreaker. So you are starting the trend I want. I want people to be like, have you listened to this show? And they can bring that up on dates.
It made her laugh. The concept made her laugh.
Yes.
It's effective. Everyone who's listening, it works.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It'll make him laugh.
Also, it's, a good heads up, like, hey, this is what you're in for. You're gonna have to be cool with it.
We're pretty weird. I'm sorry, listeners, I just made a broad assumption about you.
They'll forgive us, or our numbers will drop significantly, one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Is too significantly?
Yes, unfortunately. It's fairly significant still.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be fine.
Well then, if you guys have any questions for us, there's a box in our website over at finelygroomed.com. Type your message in there, hit submit, comes to us anonymously. If you're listening to this through iPod or iTunes or whatever else isn't our website, there should be a link to our website over at finelygroomed.com. So you can type your question and send it
to us. It's there. I've seen it.
Now, there's only a small chance it will make fun of your question and you for asking it.
Yeah.
But definitely not you. We won't know who you are.
I mean,
we'll still, we might have fun. Yeah.
Like, one first time I was on, I'm like, oh, Clint totally asked that question, I can tell. And then I made fun of him for a good while.
So here's a question. Why do I have to invite my sister-in-law to my bachelorette party, even if no one wants her there? The answer is you don't.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you don't.
It's your bachelorette party. You can do whatever you want. Unfortunately, if you do whatever you want, you have to deal with the ramifications of your sister-in-law being mad at you for who knows how long because you didn't invite
her. Presumably the duration of the marriage.
Yeah. Possibly longer.
Yeah. Mm.
On the other hand, the guy you're marrying probably won't care that much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the mother-in-law, father-in-law, and possibly other sibling-in-laws.
Want her there as a spy? That's against the very concept of a bachelorette party.
Well, that is
downright malicious.
That is assuming that the bachelorette party and the bachelor party operate under similar principles. Like, I don't have the qualification to state that.
It's true. Neither do I.
Assuming they are. Bachelorettes like strippers. I think.
Some of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Or at least like laughing at them. I prefer the bounce you method of bachelorette parties, but you know.
I mean, that's great if there's strippers there.
And bounce you?
Yeah, perfect.
At the inflatable gym house.
Yeah.
Note to self, ever get married, bachelor party at bounce you with strippers.
Pretty sure you'd have to rent it for the whole day so no kids walked in.
Just rent it for the evening. Just rent the entire place for like, because you're not going to want to do your bachelor party at like noon.
It's a decent point, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have strippers that bounce you, there's a good chance the guys are going to want to stay there for a while.
So, Yeah, how much do you want to put up with this person being mad at you for an undetermined amount of time? Is your sister-in-law vengeful?
Yeah.
That might be something to consider.
So she doesn't undermine your marriage.
Also, this might be a good bonding experience for the two of you. Like, there's a chance, like, if you believe statistics, like 49% chance, that you're going to be stuck with this lady for a while.
Might as well get to know her.
Yeah.
Give her a shot.
Could be a nice bonding moment.
Like, have you ever been with this girl at a party?
I'm assuming yes, since she doesn't want her there.
One wants her there.
Yeah.
The question is, what side of it? Is she too much or too little at the party? Is what I'm kind of curious about. Mm. Is she going to be a stick in the mud, or is she going to be too drunk to be at the bachelorette party?
Yeah, like, is she a non-functional alcoholic?
Yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Or maybe you won't.
Yeah. You should tell us how that goes.
So if you really want to, you can also use this as a perfect excuse to have two bachelorette parties. One with her and one without her.
Ooh, yeah, one really, like, low-budget one with her. Yeah, just and then like one secret expensive one.
You and her go and see a movie or something. Say it was a bachelorette party. And then act all sad because no one else came.
Yeah. Or it's like,
don't lie to her. Just obscure the secondary truth.
I mean, we're assuming that she doesn't like her because no one wants her at the party. So and if you don't like someone, it's all right to lie to them.
Dan, I can't stand behind that reasoning.
Neither can I.
But maybe this person will, so...
I'll say less bad. I won't say okay, but I'll say less bad.
I'm going to say it's still a lie, so...
That's true.
You could have the, hey, invite the bachelorette party group to go see a movie that you wanted to see anyway, and then dinner at Taco Bell afterwards.
Yeah.
You can go to a male strip club with her. Like, this is still a bachelorette party. She'll buy you drinks. It'll be a perfect opportunity for her to get you drunk.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe she's like one of those women who turns into one of those pushy lesbians when she's drunk.
Dry party.
Yeah. Like, we've all seen them. Like, oh, that person seems pretty nice and, you know... Whatever.
Just invite her, if that's the case, just invite a real lesbian and just hook them up and bam, done.
There you go. Oh! Have a mole wingman at your bachelorette party. Or woman.
Yeah, a mole wing woman for her if she's into that.
Bam. Or man if she's into that. Yeah,
and then you won't, no one else will have to deal with her because they'll just focus fire her and they'll be done.
Yeah.
Except that one person might just have to bite a bullet if it's something that they don't want.
Also, reason number two why guys aren't underqualified. Use the term focus fire when it comes to dating.
No, when it came to hooking up at a party. There's a distinct difference.
Reason number two, while I'm on hook.
Before we go and dig this hole any deeper, there's some answers. Tell us how it went. Let's move on to our question. My prospective significant other has not seen my room yet. How do I prepare it?
I'm on a strange school for this one.
Okay.
I believe that prospective significant other. If I care for someone and like them, I want them to know who I am at my most basic. I clean my room to a tidy point, but not more than I really want to. Like, not more than it's gonna be at the day after I clean it.
You don't want to overclean it and give them expectations you're never really going to meet.
Exactly, because I'm a messy dude. If you stand any chance of potentially sharing a room with me in the future, you should know that it might not be in perfect shape, but it's probably not going to be like rancid food in places.
Yeah. I like the probably.
Yeah.
You might find an open jar of salsa from, you know, January. Maybe.
That's very specific.
And to agree with Guy for other reasons, like, they might be aware of how messy a person you are. I'm gonna assume you're a dude. And if they get in there and like, well, this is a lot cleaner than I was led to believe, their trap senses are gonna start cleaning.
That's true.
That is totally true.
You can also do the quagmire route if you really want, if you want to overdo it. But that's tailored to the lady. If you think it would be a good funny joke to her to just go like giant heart-shaped bed all over that bitch, then go for it. But I wouldn't recommend it. If it matches your personality.
But if you already have a heart-shaped bed, you know,
If you already have a heart-shaped bed, your room is ready. Anyone who bothered to get a heart-shaped bed keeps their room at the ready.
It's a decent point, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree. Like, I'm surprisingly the exact same thing I was going to say was, yeah, don't give them an unreasonable expectation.
Yeah. This is one of the first times that I think we might be giving legitimately bad advice. But I do believe in it thoroughly.
Badly.
You might want to just clean it up real nice and get it nice and tidy.
Or maybe
if you are kind of still at the trying to impress this person stage, I just don't believe in impressing people as much as other people do.
Maybe you're actually answering the question the wrong way. Maybe he's looking for, like, I don't know, with candles? Some music?
That's halfway to the quagmire approach. You ride a fine line.
Well, I just happen to have candles in my room. I mean, it's...
Are they lit?
No, but they could be.
Dan, a
moment's notice.
I'm not gonna lie. I feel like if candles got lit in your room, all of the spare clothing that litters your floor and dressers would ignite. Because I don't think there's enough space between where a candle could be and where clothes isn't.
And that's why I keep it covered in wax. All my dirty clothes and clean clothes just covered in wax.
You mean sweat from days of Jimmy John's.
I don't sweat while I'm working.
Oh, yeah. That means why you work when you're working.
They don't pay me enough for that shit.
It just smokes.
And another point, prospective significant other hasn't seen your room yet. Aren't you getting a little ahead of yourself, mister?
You can do a lot with someone without showing them the room.
Well, like, but what if you're like, oh, let me grab this book for you. And you're in the room to get the book.
This nonchalant, you get really close to her and catch her before you get a chance to look around. Go to
like
the
trap sense will also tingle then.
Yeah. I mean, like, if she follows you into the room, when you say, okay, let me go get this book for you, if you get up from wherever you all are, go to your room, and she follows you there, when you say you're going to a place to get it, she follows you there, that's going for the kiss opportunity on her part too. If that's a prospective significant other, and you all haven't kissed yet, that's a good chance to kiss. Because the bedroom is a place that is very much a two people coming to a place to do something, solo time, bam.
Yeah, well,
there was a hand motion to that internet. It wasn't very accurate.
I'll explain it. He started with his hands, palms facing each other, a little a bit further than shoulder length, and gradually moved them close together.
Until they met at a silent clap.
Yeah, like he was in Full Metal Alchemist. Also, reason number three why we're on underqualified. And also, that was a pretty broad assumption that they haven't kissed. They might be boning up and down the street, just haven't gotten up.
They just haven't gotten to the room yet?
Yeah.
In which case, don't overprepare. Yeah, either way, don't overprepare. If he follows you into your room for you going into the room real quick to grab something, read the situation, probably kiss her.
I think if he was good at reading the situation, he wouldn't be listening to Underqualified.
It's a disturbingly valid point, man.
Yeah, valid points!
Really, it's a matter of actively reading the situation and not forgetting to read the situation.
That's really good for people who can read situations. And then there's probably the majority of our audience. Who come to us who can't read situations to ask how to read situations.
My advice, don't try and read a situation, try and create a situation.
If she's standing more than, or less than, like, one full arm's length from you, when you turn around from your bookshelf, kiss her. She's all up on you.
Hand her the book first.
I don't know, dude, that's kind of far away.
If you can touch each other's shoulders. If you could touch each other's shoulders.
That's like middle school dancing. I think she's gotta be closer than that.
Well, depends on the size of your room.
Yeah, and the size of the lady.
True.
Let's reformulate this.
So when to kiss is probably gonna be one of our weak suits here on Underqualified.
I think that may be a whole nother question
that
hopefully someone will ask for the next episode.
Or hopefully no one ever asks so we don't have to struggle through it.
Stop it with your disturbingly accurate advice. All right, there's some suggestions. If you don't like it, ask it again. We're moving on.
So mad.
All right, so. In recap, use candles. Don't clean it up.
I was going to say, that wasn't a recap at all. What are the protocols for couples in an RPG campaign who want their characters to get into a relationship with each other so it doesn't end in an overly dramatic breakup at the table. Can other players or the DM do anything to aid in this, or is it up to the maturity of the couple?
The DM can kill one of the players. That way the other dies, yeah. And they get to see, like, an emotional response, and it's cool and epic, and the romance can still stay there, present, and you can stop having that powder keg standing in front of you.
And also, it's amusing to see if when the player makes a new character, like, how long does a character wait to start dating again?
Like, as soon as a new person enters the party, like, this guy. I'm going to walk away from my old lover's grave to go talk to him.
Yeah, it's like fun to see how well they roleplay the grieving experience.
Or if you're playing an evil character and you're just a player, kill one of them, see what happens.
For funsies. And then prepare to get a lashing verbally from those people.
And maybe attacked by the other.
And maybe.
Well, I mean, probably. They were lovers.
And then prepare to make a new character.
Do it while they're sleeping. Non-player knowledge.
What if you died randomly in the night?
Yeah.
Must have been assassins. Those damned goblins. We should have taken their gold. When will we learn?
Other than killing one of the other players, either DM or other player, although that actually is a totally valid point.
Well, that's guy's go-to thing.
Kill one player. When there's a problem, murder.
Reason number four, why I'm underqualified.
Because you murder players or you play
D&D?
Murder
is a go-to solution.
That scares women.
Yeah, I don't think it's really a go-to solution.
It's only when he's doing
only
RPG.
D&D. Only when I'm a god, that's there all.
There is a fine line there.
Yeah.
Once you leave the grid map, murder is no longer an option.
True. Also, I think I may have been just lucky, because I've never had an issue with this. Like, I've played with some people who are dating in real life and in a game. Like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I've seen that sometimes, and it can be real adorable.
Yeah. Mm.
And then sometimes it just, like, turns into bickering.
Yeah. Are you talking about that fourth egg campaign, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair,
those characters are siblings.
Oh, I thought they were dating.
No, those two characters are siblings. It's actually a male and a female couple who are playing characters that are siblings, which is a similar relationship. There's still love.
Okay, so other than murder, what are some solutions for this?
It's a powder keg, and really, it's up to gauging whether or not the couple is stable enough.
Well, I think that would play into the maturity of the couple.
If
they're mature, awesome. Good for them. They can pull this off.
Also, there's a lot of other fun things you can do. Like, as a GM, you can just outright change one of your players' gender.
Or remove their gender.
Yeah.
Or just the parts that make that gender special.
Yeah.
See how the other one reacts.
Yeah.
And that's,
you became a eunuch.
That might be lighting the fuse on a powder keg, though. If you think there's a powder keg there.
Yeah, but better that everyone sees the fuse lit than waiting for the fuse to get lit.
That's why you just defuse it with a good murder.
Other than murder guy, there has to be another way.
As a DM, it's a really easy solution.
I mean, there's a good chance someone's gonna die anyways.
Yeah.
May as well just make it someone who's helpful.
Also, as a DM, if they do go off and break up in middle of combat and there's a long, drawn-out thing, interrupt it with a combat, or like with crazy things going on. Yeah. As the DM, don't be afraid to interrupt, and make sure your DM knows that he can interrupt their character's conversation, because he has control of the world.
And also, is this breaking up in game or breaking up in life?
If they break up in game, that's just kind of lame.
Yeah, if they break up in life, though, they probably both wouldn't go to the same game.
I feel like in a D&D game, a breakup between two characters would be just the most unconsequential plot point. Like, oh yeah, we had to save the world, and then somewhere along the line, these two people also broke up.
Could be like Vampire the Masquerade or something like that, where it's a little weirder, and you have convoluted plots and like romances, and
like
these two
more
characters were involved, but then this one had to go like get forced married to someone else, and
that's true.
That was the breakup, something weird like that.
Ooh, forced marriage.
That's actually a good one.
Yeah.
I don't think that would work.
Like, you pointed at me. You're the one who said it. I just brought it up.
I don't think that would work in most games.
If someone's playing someone kind of noble-ish, you can make it work.
Yeah, because, like, I don't think I have any characters who are like, force marriage. Like, I just spent the better part of last week prancing about the countryside, killing trolls and whatnot. Like, I'm going to stay in this town and marry you? You'll never find me, I promise.
There's the Firefly option, the accidental marriage and some weird ceremony you don't understand.
Ooh, yeah. It's also a good one.
And then you have the creepy stalker.
Well, that's fun. Still, I don't think that would have mattered to any of my characters either. It's like, oh, I got married. Well, she can stay there.
Well, you have the stalker that follows you around, like in Firefly.
All right. She's going to have to try hard.
That just means you got the leadership.
It's not easy trying.
She's not going to fight for you. She's going to try and kill you when she finds out you're dating someone else. So you have to keep it a secret from her.
Also, as a general rule, I try not to date in games. I don't have time for them. Saving the world and shit.
Dan, you're underqualified. I'm not sure you make time for dates in real life.
Yeah, it's because I don't have time for that. I'm saving the world and shit.
Alright, well, there you go. Let's move on to another question. If your girlfriend or boyfriend was any warrior-type person from Deadliest Warrior, which one would you choose?
That's tough.
The longest we've ever thought of for a question.
Yeah.
Deadliest Warrior is the two different history warriors clashing through. Okay, cool. We've seen most of that together, Dan.
It was a while ago. I remember they were ninjas.
Ninja girlfriend would be pretty sweet. Yeah. Samurai girlfriend would also be pretty cool, because that means she's in the money.
Oh, that'll kick ass, yeah.
And then Dan goes with samurai for that very reason.
Pirate. That was under.
That's a pretty classic. Because
then she could be taking someone else's money and not mine.
Or she might just be on the route to taking your money.
Oh.
Not with me.
Women do that by default. Yeah. When I'm dating, it would seem. I don't see how them being a pirate would make it any worse. Also, she'd probably make booty jokes all the time. That's just fun.
I totally thought of one and then I lost it.
Yeah, he was like, oh, samurai, that's a good idea.
Hey, yeah, distracted me with pirates and samurai.
Nobles, musketeer.
Rather have the one with money.
I'm pretty sure musketeers had money.
I think they were knighted, weren't they? Which meant they were landowners in the Renaissance.
They might have been loaded.
It could have been.
At the same time, like, Mongolian crazy warrior woman wouldn't be bad.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
She'd have a mace that could shatter a skull.
Yeah.
Into dust.
Yeah. Certainly it's is the warrior your type?
Like if it were a fighting game.
I think they're trying to learn about us, which one would we choose. Yeah. I wonder which one you would choose.
Person.
Yes.
Internet.
Looking at you, Internet.
Internet wants pirate. And the Internet wants the... I think I want the samurai. Because she's in the money and she has a strong sense of nobility and purpose. Harmony in life is important. Probably more peaceful.
I'd hate to go with samurai too, but yeah.
You could go with noble. It's more like the knight, like the noble knight or lady in this case. Heavy armor?
No, because remember chivalry? Women weren't allowed to be knights unless they were crazy like Joan of Arc.
Dan, crazy girls are your type.
Oh, yeah.
Hate to remind you.
Sounds like that one just took the lead.
Yeah, you're probably right.
What's yours?
I don't know.
Amazon Warrior Woman?
Yep, was that on there?
Presumably.
Amazon, there we go.
Yeah.
With the one booby? I like two.
It's body modification, man. That's cool.
It is kind of Jesse's bag, too.
Damn. All
right. Just a little weird, if you ask me. A little weird, Jesse.
I like symmetry in the human body. At least, it's not a must, but... Don't get me wrong. One titty isn't a deal breaker, but it's a plus. Or two titties is a plus.
I just prefer my women without any deformities. Just saying. Does that make me vain and shallow? I'm sorry.
Yes, it does.
Reason, what am I up to now? 5?
Just today.
Yeah, reason number 5 from the past, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Well, everyone should be allowed preference. Having a preference is not being shallow or vain. But it's how important you rank that preference. And how much weight and
importance you give to your physical, your decisions in the world based on that preference.
Yeah.
Like they would define whether or not you're vain.
If you're like, I like brown hair, and you meet someone with blonde hair, you're like, no.
We can't be friends.
Yeah, like that's, you gotta tone that down a notch. Yeah. But if you're like, hey, this is a cool person, I like them,
yeah.
So they don't have brown hair.
Yeah.
They're more than that.
Yeah. It's about seeing the whole of the person.
Yeah. That was our heart-to-heart.
That was our good advice for the day.
We've dispensed enough bad advice.
Yeah, we've got to make up a little
bit. A little more bad advice. It's okay to be a shallow bastard, you know?
A lot of people are. Most of you, probably. I've been on the internet before. There's a lot of porn.
For good reason.
That's how we lost the rest of our audience. Thanks, guy.
I'm sorry.
You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. Porn. That's right now we lost the rest of them! You're welcome, porn industry. The one guy who's still listening. Some porn executive's like, oh, I'm all porned out for today.
Put something different for background noise on. I can't stand that woman faking it anymore.
All right, well, that's our question, so...
That's it for the questions?
Yeah.
So, high fives as a means of emotional interaction. I believe that yes. A high five is a little better than a handshake. And, like, how do you all feel about different ways of introducing yourself to people and how those might relate to romance? Like, in other cultures where it's very regular to kiss someone on the cheek when you meet them.
Like, when you meet them for the first time?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Maybe, like, at least a hug, like...
I mean, like, I suppose if, like, it's an old friend and you're into that kind of thing, kissing him on the cheek, it's like, hey, I just met you. It's like, I just met you. Cut that out.
There's other places where every time you meet someone, you're greeted with a hug rather than a handshake when you meet someone new. I think that's could be a good thing. I think it would make it kind of awkward because it would make it harder to read someone's body language when they were trying to get close to you and gave you a hug, because that's usually a scaling thing in America. And it really just skips a couple scales on that.
Well, I think if you're in that country where... hugging is normal, then you have a different scale. So it's probably still just as easy or difficult, depending on how well you do that, to figure out if someone is trying to interact with you in such a manner.
That's just like, you're starting off closer, so there's going to be less room from the start to go up.
That seems kind of false to me, though, because you just brought it up. I like that way we do it in America. Like, we, do our greeting gesture, like, dependent on things. Like, hey, it's you. I'm going to give you a handshake or a hug, depending on this. Yeah. And when you work your way up to hug, it's like, all right, we made it to the hug stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Me and this fella. You can't just start off hugging.
I'm wondering if the kiss on the cheek is kind of the hug stage, or is the equivalent of the hug stage, because that's not a thing we do much over here.
Well, we fear contact.
On a scale of 1 to 10, creepy do you think it is when you see someone... pick up a girl's hand and kiss it.
Never seen it happen in real life.
Seen it happen at bars, and I've never seen a woman react to it positively.
Ooh, at a bar?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's a really cute gesture, but not at a bar.
To someone you already kiss regularly, it's cool. Go for it.
Yeah.
If you haven't kissed them yet, don't kiss them on the hand.
Yeah, like if...
yeah, you don't know where that's been. She could have been pumping gas or something.
It's very true.
She could work with rat poison for a living.
I would hope she would wash her hands before she shakes people's hands.
Oh, maybe she's trying to discourage people from kissing her hands.
By poisoning.
Yeah. Look, you're the one who said murder was a good solution.
In an imaginary world.
I kind of would like to see that happen at a bar now. Some dude just... drunkenly kisses a girl's hand, then he falls over dead, and he'll be like, see, this is what happens!
I'm gonna do that to a girl at a bar.
And then you're poison her? Say,
no. You kiss her hand, then heal over dead, and the day you're gonna have to say, see, this is what happens. I don't even know where that's gonna go.
Probably too. I don't know. No one kissing her in the hand for the rest of the night.
Maybe some mild scarring.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone probably would. It's like, oh, I'm man enough. I can get away with it without dying.
I feel like that's when Holden and I walk in like EMS outfits and put you on a stretcher and carry you out with like a thing over your head.
So what are y'all doing tomorrow night?
Apparently fake deathing you.
Faking my death at a bar.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I said fake deathing.
We'll probably have to get a woman involved in this, because, I don't know, I'm just guessing most women won't even allow you to kiss their hands.
I think I could be suave enough to get a handshake. And from a handshake, you just kiss the hand. Like, it's a pretty easy motion. There's not much you can do about it.
Reason number 7. Yes.
And then the creepy factor.
Well, that's why it's a creepy motion, because it's always a surprise. No one expects
it. Oh, so it's like they go straight from the... They don't do the like...
Yeah, woman doesn't, like, put her hand out like a puppy dog.
Yeah, like...
Kiss my rings, bitch.
I mean, some of them do, especially older women, and it's disturbing. Because, you know, me being a man, I go in there for, like, a man handshake. You, like, reach in until you, like, physically can't
anymore. You just, like, punch the front of their hand.
And then you apply your vice, like, grip and do a stern shake, like,
that actually
shakes.
Makes a little bit of sense, because there was a girl named Rachel who I saw at Coffeeology. We said hello to each other every now and again, but never actually, like, met each other formally. I said, hey, I'm Guy, I put out a handshake. And it felt like she was just slipping a fish into my hand. Because I think she was kind of doing the down for the hold up the hand and kiss thing. Maybe. I doubt it. The chances are slim. Incidentally, I've never met an unattractive woman named Rachel. Jesse laughs because he knows it's true.
Oh, no. This is
reason number 5.
I think we're up to 8 now. You're welcome if there's any girl named Rachel listening. You're pretty cute, apparently. You're probably. Welcome for the higher self-esteem. Also, probably not, because if one of us thinks you're cute, probably it's not going to make your day any better.
Does that be like a starving guy complimenting your cooking?
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm not deformed. Apparently that's what it takes for these assholes. Oh, wait, that's right. 2 out of 3 of them don't even care.
On that, Dan, thank you for dispensing such glorious advice. Guy, thanks for dispensing also glorious advice.
Mercy awkward.
And I'm here too. And thanks everybody for listening. And we'll see you in 2 weeks with our next podcast.
Thank you, Internet.
Goodbye.
Music you heard at the beginning of the show and you're listening to now is by Mankind is Obsolete. Thank you so much to them for letting us use your music without paying you anything, because we don't have any money to pay you with. But if you like their music, you can get it on their website or from Amazon.com. And if you're listening to this on our website, links for both of those are below where you hit play or download for this podcast. There's no place for truth when there's